Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, Attorney Todd L. Levitt, Mount Pleasant, Michigan's very own criminal defense attorney, sitting here in studio with my co-host and producer, Nikki Morissette. Nikki, we're back.
We're back.
We never left.
No, I don't think we did.
In fact, we're always on because we're on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud.
Yes.
Trending extremely high on iTunes.
I know, I saw that.
Isn't that crazy?
It's amazing.
Thank you to all the worldwide listeners.
Yes, thank you.
You know what's really cool is just to watch on iTunes how the popularity of each show, where it's at.
Yeah, I know. It's really neat that you can see that.
It's amazing.
I know.
What a huge show.
Yes, it's going to be a huge show.
This show is going to be by far the biggest show we've ever done to date. First, I want to get to your hair.
Okay.
Looks like you colored it, and it's a new style?
No, just color.
Color?
Just color.
Are you happy that I noticed?
Yes, I am, actually. Because happy you noticed, but I'm not happy with the color.
I think more men should, you know, notice women that wear nice earrings, nail polish, jewelry, they do their hair. I mean, women take so much time to get ready. And I'm not knocking women, for God's
right.
sake. But I'm just saying, women take a lot of time to get ready. I noticed those things.
Yes, and I'm glad you did. Thank you.
Yeah, because, I mean, women take the time to go get their nails done, and some of them get acrylic.
Right, French some do.
Are French manicures still in?
Yeah, I see a lot of people who do that.
I think it's back.
Yeah.
How would you describe to all of our male listeners out there who are all my friends, who I love them dearly, what a French manicure is if they have no idea?
It's the white tips on the nails.
I recall that from the 80s.
Yeah, that's when it was really big, is in the 80s.
With leg warmers.
Yes, I remember leg warmers.
My favorite was flavored lip gloss.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I stopped wanting to, you know, consume crayons and Play-Doh as I got older. I never did. In fact, do not do that if you're listening to this show. But, you know, when you're a young kid and you're playing with Play-Doh and you're 6, 7 years old.
Oh, Play-Doh was so good.
I mean, okay. Can we talk?
We can talk.
Has anybody ever done look, I'm not knocking Play-Doh, but has anyone ever done a scientific study to what actually Play-Doh's made of?
No, I don't think I want to know.
How close did you ever come to eating Play-Doh?
Probably pretty close, but I think my brother did actually eat Play-Doh.
That Play-Doh, I'm going to have to go to the store this afternoon and look at Play-Doh, how it's made.
There you go.
Because I'm just saying.
I know.
And then to make matters worse, Play-Doh comes out with little things like cookie dough things that you could stamp the Play-Doh to make it look like real food.
Oh, I know. You got the hamburgers, the French fries, everything.
Hey, Brother Todd, wake up, it's Saturday morning. Cartoons are on with Scooby-Doo because I know you like the female in Scooby-Doo. And here, have some food. And then they didn't tell me, all my siblings, that it was actually Play-Doh and they stamped it to look like food.
Oh, boy.
Like, does that help?
Not really. No, it does not.
It's so true, though.
It is true. It is true. So, yeah, that's one thing it was known for, is making food out of Play-Doh.
Play-Doh. We are a law show.
Yes.
We have a lot of law to get to.
Yes, we do.
We're going to talk about resisting and obstructing.
Okay.
Reserve police officers. If you resist and obstruct a reserve police officer, and by all means, folks, let me just say this. We're pro-law enforcement, this show.
Right.
I support all the men and women who put their lives on the line every day.
Okay.
Bottom line.
Well, yes.
So don't resist and obstruct any officer.
What is a reserve officer?
Well, they're trained, and they attend parades or if there's emergencies. They just, they're reserve officers.
Okay, all right.
They have police functions to assist law enforcement officers as police officers.
Okay.
I could be completely wrong, so I have a lot of friends that are officers that listen to the show. If you see me out and about with my Play-Doh in my hand, one, don't let me eat it, and two, tell me if I'm wrong about reserve police officers.
Yes.
But we're going to talk about reserve police officers.
Okay.
But before we get to that, I want to talk just briefly about the Olympics.
All right.
And the pole vaulting.
Okay.
I was told the other day that a pole vaulter, and it's very unfortunate, broke his legs. Did you hear about this from France?
No, I did not hear about that.
When I was in high school, I was a track and field guy.
Okay.
I ran the 440.
Right.
One lap. And the 880 back then, two laps.
Okay.
I don't know what they call it now.
I don't know.
1500 meters, you know, this 50-meter dash.
Okay.
It's like a 40-yard dash. But I had to try out for pole vaulting, and I said, no, that's not happening. I'm not taking a pole, sticking it in a little tiny hole, and then trying to throw myself over some kind of bar.
Right. Well,
just wasn't. I tried it. It just wasn't happening.
Okay.
The closest I ever got to a pole was to do the limbo.
Okay.
And even then, I wasn't that good at it. Limbo.
I know. I remember doing the limbo.
I haven't done the limbo in so long.
I think it was the 80s.
During break, you and I are going to limbo.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to go get a broom. I'm going to take the broom handle off of the end of the broom. We're going to set it up on two chairs, and you and I are going to play some reggae, and we are going to limbo.
Might need a life alert to help get me off the ground.
But limbo one was great, but that pole vaulting?
I don't know how they do it.
What is that?
I don't know. To me, it's just confusing a shot put. Why?
Well, I see the shot put. A lot of those Olympic sports, I don't get. How about there's like three, you run, you skip. It's like you run and then there's a triple jump.
I was watching one where all of a sudden they're running and you think they're doing this long run. And then here's a hurdle with a water pit right next to it.
I'm one of the greatest skippers I've ever met right here.
Okay.
I can limbo and I can skip.
Oh, there's an Olympic event right there.
We should play one-on-one Red Rover.
Oh, there we go.
So you stand 30 yards away, I'll stand 30 yards away, and you say, Red Rover, send Todd over.
All right.
What is that anyway? Why is it Red Rover?
There's another thing to look up.
How about Marco Polo?
Oh, yeah.
I don't play Marco Polo because every single person I ever played Marco Polo with cheated.
I think everybody cheated.
They would get out
Marco
of the pool.
Yeah, they would hide.
I never cheated in Marco Polo. I thought I was the greatest Marco Polo player ever. And I would always tag someone that wasn't even playing a game, like some elderly lady that was just floating on a raft. And I would always like tag her.
And everybody else is already gone.
And everybody's standing outside on the cement.
Yeah, laughing at you, right?
Laughing at me. People should not cheat at Marco Polo.
No, they shouldn't. But
never.
They do.
And Red Rover, you don't take someone's legs out. Wait, let's just agree to this. Do not play Red Rover. That is a dangerous game. Why would you lock your arms together and then call someone over, especially when I was younger? I was a defensive end and a linebacker, and I'm going to run through your arms?
Yeah, you clothesline everybody.
I'm going to tuck my head in tight, put my shoulders up.
Yeah.
Like a linebacker, head down. Here I come.
To me, that was just as dangerous as dodgeball.
I wasn't trying to attack anyone's body. I was just trying to break through the arms.
Right, which is not easy to do in a lot of cases.
Dodgeball.
Oh, my gosh. You want to talk about the welts there.
Dodgeball. Oh.
Yeah, that knocked a few brain cells loose on a lot of people.
Yeah. I like playing dodgeball with beach balls. Now, that's a fun game.
You can't hit nobody with a beach ball.
Not the 10-pound brick ball we played in elementary school.
Oh, I know. I don't know even why they had that back
And there was
then.
Always one schoolmate who was the best thrower.
Oh, of course
and
there was.
And he or she could just destroy you.
And also dodge them. You could never hit that person,
yeah.
Ever.
I used to get frustrated and just tackle the person. Thought I was playing Red Rover. Then I would take a pole from the closet as if I was limboing and knock them over their noggin.
There you go.
Hey, I want to give a big shout out. We are a law show. We're going to come back strong with three segments. We've got a ton of law to get to. First, a shout out to Grayling, Michigan's own Jordan Wakely.
Okay.
Jordan Wakely, he's a good friend of mine. I'm close friends with the Wakely family. Todd Wakely, one of my best friends up there. Love the Wakelys. Last week I raced.
All right,
In the Oar to Shore, 48 miles. From Nagani all the way through ore country, private property, single tracks, ORV trails, all over the place to the Dome in Marquette, 48 miles.
All right.
I did it in under 4 hours.
Wow.
Jordan Wakely took first out of thousands.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So he won by a second. Talking about pros from
Amazing.
All over the country, and Jordan's a pro. Jordan Wakely won the ore to shore. He wins everything.
Well, congratulations,
so,
Jordan.
Big shout out to Michigan's very own. We have a professional mountain biker, fat biker, living in Grayland, Michigan. And if you don't know how difficult that is, go watch a race.
Yeah.
I mean, I finished.
I've seen some of the videos. Yeah.
But it was pouring rain out last weekend in Marquette. Yeah. When you finish the race, it doesn't matter where you're at, you're completely covered in red dust. And because it rained and there were so many puddles, you can just imagine 48 miles in the backcountry from Nagani through Ishpeming all the way to Marquette.
Wow.
If you don't know that area, if it rains, you're going to look like someone took Play-Doh and just smeared it all over your face with red clay. We have to go to break. When we come back, Nikki, we're going to talk about reserve police officers, and we have a ton of other law stories to get to. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, if you're just tuning in for the first time.
What took you so long?
Nikki, what? Seriously.
Really? Yeah.
Do you listen to our show on podcast?
Yes, I do.
Because as we sit here, we have some stuff that's prepared.
Right.
And everything else is just ad-libbed.
It is.
And I listen back to the show and I go, wow, that was good information. Or we crack me up.
Well, yeah. I mean, I listen to it when I'm editing.
I crack ourselves. Yeah.
And then after it's uploaded, I listen to it again.
By the way, let me just, before we get to this resisting and obstructing reserve police officers, mm-hmm. which nobody should do, we're going to talk about the law.
Yeah.
I mentioned before we went to break during the last segment about the Ore-to-Shore epic mountain bike race.
Yes.
With thousands of people competing from all over the country.
Right.
You know, this is my answer to some of the problems we have as a country.
Okay.
During that race, there are men and women that are racing. And
right.
some younger teenagers, young adults.
Okay.
They're men and women.
Right.
And there is just carnage everywhere. People's bikes, they're breaking, they're falling off. Hopefully people don't get seriously hurt, but sometimes they do. There's even been some cases where people have heart attacks. So, folks, if you're going to attempt any physical activity, especially that I'm talking about, don't listen to me. Consult with your cardiologist or internist first.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, you don't want to have heart attacks or get, have your legs, not be prepared for
yeah.
something like that.
I have a good friend. One of my buddies, he's a doctor up in Alpena, Jason Beatty. Good guy, Jason, up there. But in any event... So here's my answer. There's carnage everywhere throughout these big races. Some of these races are 100 miles, 48, 32, the Iceman, we do that every year, the Berry-Roubaix. And there's so much carnage, but you know what happens? Everybody stops to help each other out.
Oh, well, that's
good. If somebody goes down, there will be a dozen bikers who stop and not concerned about their time and how fast they're racing, and they will stop and assist that person. Every single person will work together, offer you water if you're dehydrated. Everybody carries food with us. We carry different types of proteins and sodium
okay.
that you can purchase,
right.
healthy stuff. But it doesn't matter what type of person you are, what the color of your skin is, what religion you are, what your beliefs are, Republican, Democrat. We're just humans working together to accomplish a goal.
Well, that is good to hear.
And as I was biking, I was with a young lady who went smack dab into a puddle, and her bike, she totally biffed it. And her bike went on top of her. She screamed. I stopped immediately. And as soon as I stopped, somebody else stopped. You help each other out. the concern is for one another.
Right.
And you don't think about, oh, are you a Democrat? I don't say to her, hey, by the way, are you an independent? Because if you are, I'm getting back on my fat bike. I'm not helping you out. But it just, it really made me think throughout. It took me almost 4 hours to get through the 48 miles. I averaged 12.5 miles an hour on a fat bike. That's pretty good in the rain.
Yeah.
But it made me think about this show. And we always talk about people helping people.
Right.
If more people who have differences would do a race, or some, there's a lot of people that do these Spartan races, or they do these mud, what are those mud races they do? They do them in Genesee County. You know, they run through the mud. I mean, I have some friends that do these. It's pretty difficult.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Any competition, you'll work as people, as humans, with complete disregard to anything else,
yeah,
other than
more
helping
so
each
like
other
a
out.
Team instead of
no,
individually.
More so as one human helping another
right.
human. You know, most people have helmets on. You don't know what they look like. You don't know their religious
no,
beliefs
you
or
don't.
Their
and it doesn't matter.
Political opinions. You're there to help somebody who needs help.
Yes.
But we don't help each other.
No, we don't.
We are completely selfish.
Yes, we are.
We are. We don't help anybody.
And I think that's wrong, but, you know, that's the way it's going.
But for those out there that compete, or there's a lot of people out there who ride motorcycles.
Yes.
Motorcyclists are the same way.
Oh, definitely.
They will help a fellow biker out with complete, you know, open hands and open arms. Bikers will help anybody out.
Oh, yes, they will. They're the first ones to help.
And they're the ones that are always doing the fundraisers, and they help, you know, the veterans helping the vets. I mean, bikers, in my opinion, are the most giving group of people out there.
They are. They definitely
second
are.
Second to none.
Yes. I agree with you totally on that one.
All right. I'm glad we agree.
Yes.
And if you're just tuning in, I'm attorney Todd L. Levin. And who are you?
Nikki Morsa.
And if you missed any portion of the show, why'd you miss it?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, people only tune in on the way to church or they first wake up. Maybe they're, I mean, what do we have, like 35 listeners right now?
Oh, I think, yes, we're climbing.
Well, 20 are Amish, a couple Mennonite, and the rest are my friends.
That's right.
And your friends.
Yes.
But no, actually, we have a lot of listeners
yes,
out there,
do.
And we always appreciate hearing from you. Big shout out to the Green family.
Okay.
The Greens listen to the show.
Good.
Love the Greens. How about Steve Hanak?
Oh, I mean, he's always listening.
I love you, Stevie. Steve Hanak, you're a great man. Big shout out to Gazi Alec.
Yes.
Love you guys. All right. Here's the deal. We on the show probably 6 months ago, we talked about Michigan Court of Appeals opinion, and that opinion was a case involving a reserve police officer who placed someone under arrest. The person who was being placed under arrest, I don't know the facts exactly, but they resisted.
Okay.
However you define resisting. I mean, if an officer commands you to do something, you should do it. Because if you resist or obstruct the officer in his or her duty as an officer, whatever that may be at that moment, then you can be charged with a felony.
Okay.
It's a felony.
Right.
Now, in this case, the person resisted a reserve police officer and was charged and then went up to the Michigan Court of Appeals. And the Court of Appeals said that the police officer who arrested this individual was not, that the law did not apply to reserve police officers. That just because this individual was a reserve police officer, that they were not held to the same standard as all the other police officers. So therefore, the individual could not have resisted the peace officer, the reserve officer. But it went up to the Michigan Supreme Court, and they reversed that opinion. And in a unanimous opinion, this is recent, this is really, really recent here, in July last month, the Supreme Court noted that the plain language of the statute does not explicitly distinguish reserve officers from police officers, and the two should not be treated differently. Therefore, folks, if you are a reserve police officer or you're an individual who is being detained or questioned by a reserve police officer, they are held in the eyes of the highest court in the state of Michigan in the same regard as full-time police officers.
Got it.
There
okay.
you go. There's an update yes. for you. Because the Court of Appeals ruled differently.
Right.
I've said this before. If you really want to see how our justice system works, go sit in a courtroom.
Yes.
It's open to the public.
Yeah, it always is.
There are some cases where it is not open to the public, rightfully so, when it involves certain types of cases involving children.
Correct.
And very, very serious cases of sexual rape and that type of case.
Right.
I have no problem. I would never be offended. And I've been in this position before where I am told to leave the courtroom. Not told, but just
asked to leave. Yeah.
Or I'm in a hallway and I can't get in. And albeit it's supposed to be open to the public, in those cases, it should not be open to the public.
No, I don't think it should be either.
But in any event, you can go sit and watch Court of Appeals cases. You can go to the Michigan Supreme Court, federal courts. Go watch these cases if you really want to see how it works. But it's amazing how we have these judges, these Court of Appeal judges who sit on these panels.
Okay.
And they only hear cases every so often. So you could file a case. So you start off at the district court. You're not happy with the opinion. You appeal to the Court of Appeals. The circuit court. It goes
okay.
District court, circuit court, Court of Appeals, Michigan Supreme Court.
Wow. All
and not
right.
every appeal is by right. It's by application to leave for appeal, meaning you got to fill an application, and the Court of Appeals and the higher courts will determine whether or not they want to hear your case.
A lot of cases
are by right. You have a right to appeal within so many days. So, folks, if you have an attorney and you're being represented by somebody, make sure he or she understands the time period in which you have to appeal a case or whether or not you have a right to appeal.
Okay.
Or is it by application?
Right.
You know who's a great judge? Judge Duthie in Isabella County here.
Okay.
He does such a great job of explaining all of your rights.
Well,
so if you want to get all the judges do a great job in Isabella County. But if you want to really see and listen and learn something, go sit in Judge Duthie's courtroom. Watch on Monday, tomorrow, Judge Duthie.
Overloaded.
They're going to be lined out the door like they're waiting to go to a Metallica concert. That was me waiting to go to a Metallica concert.
But at
Silver
least our
Millennium.
Listeners will be learning something.
Listen, at the Millennium, when 1999 turned to 2000, I was at the Silver Dome.
Really?
Waiting for Metallica to come on at midnight and waiting for that dome to come down. Because, you know, remember everybody thought the clocks are going to be screwed up,
yeah,
all the computers.
Everything was going to just
die. If the Silver Dome collapsed at midnight, I made my way up about 10 rows from the stage. I was with a buddy of mine who was a police officer from one of the Oakland County jurisdictions. I'm not going to say who he is, but he had a badge. Hey, what works, works, right? He got us onto the main floor, okay?
Wow.
And we walked straight up, and I think Kid Rock was there that night. Linkin Park and Metallica.
Man.
And let me tell you something. They open with Fool's Gold. That's their theme. From the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Right.
Remember those Clint Eastwood? We used to play it on the show.
Yes,
but
we did.
But if I had to have the roof collapse on me listening to Metallica.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Sanitarium.
There you go.
I could just see them playing, you know, Sanitarium.
I know.
And the whole thing collapses. Hey, we have to go to break. When we come back, look at all this.
I know.
Tunnel Law right here on the Todd Levitt Law Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, if you're just tuning in for the first time, I am attorney Todd L. Levitt, specializing, by the way, Nikki Morissette, in everything criminal defense, driver's license restoration, and get this, I've been specializing over the last couple years in internet cyber crimes.
There you go.
I have a number of clients who have been caught illegally downloading pornography,
right.
Music, and movies.
Yeah, and that is illegal.
Most of these individuals are using some software.
Okay.
And they're tracked down by the copyright owners through the IP addresses, through the internet service providers, and they receive threatening letters demanding large sums of money. So if you are someone you know, and the reason I bring this up is because every year these college students, they come back to school, they have all this technology and all this knowledge with them, and that's when it happens.
Ah, okay. I can see that
happening. It's called Torrent. They use Torrent software. You've heard of that?
Yes, I have heard of that.
Unbelievable. So the people who are tracking, the people using the torrent software are using torrent software themselves.
Well, yeah, because that's how they find you.
So also there's a lot of small companies out there, mom and pop, individually owned corporations, men and women who listen to the show that are landscapers, small business owners, and other individuals online may be defaming their business by holding themselves out to be that owner.
Oh, okay.
Or violating their copyright laws,
right,
by using their images of their business. Let's say they own a restaurant and someone, you know, took that photo of their restaurant and is using it without their permission or consent. If you want to use photos online, there are plenty of photo sharing companies out there that you can pay for the service, and then you get to use their photos.
Correct, yes.
And you're not... Remember the Hearst company, the Hearst Castle?
No.
Well, the Hearst Corporation owns, I would say, mega millions of photos because they were in the newspaper industry.
Okay.
And they still are in, you know, like Bloomberg. I believe Hearst, I would just go on the record and say they're probably still involved or have large ownerships in many, many news outlets and different forms of mediums.
Okay.
But if you go online and you use a picture that you did not have permission to use, there's a great likelihood that the Hearst organization owns it.
Ah.
Now, if you go online and you Google something and you go to Google Images,
yes,
it'll say right on there who owns the copyright.
Right.
So why would you use that photo?
And plus, a lot of them have the watermarks on there to stop you from using them.
What I'm telling you is there are companies out there you can pay a small amount and you get so many free pictures a month.
Yeah, they're stock images. They're not expensive.
They're stock images.
Yeah, they're not expensive at all to use their services.
That's what we use. When we our blog, by the way, folks, check out collegelawyerblog.com. It's run by Tyler Webb, my senior law clerk, and Seth Kanner, my other law clerk. And it's a great blog, and we're getting thousands of views every time we post an article now.
That's great.
Collegelawyerblog.com. But the reason I bring up these cyber issues is because the college kids are notorious for downloading porn,
right,
music, and movies.
Yes.
This threatening letter, they could be faced looking at federal court, felony convictions, tens of thousands of dollars in fines, and even prison.
Wow.
Does it normally happen? No. I've represented dozens and dozens of these students and other individuals. Almost more often than not, we negotiate a settlement.
Okay.
So instead of $25,000, I've had settlements as low as $300.
Okay.
And no higher than $1,500.
Well, that's good.
It depends on who the copyright owner is.
Right.
And how much the individual illegally downloaded.
Yeah, so there's still penalties. You still should not do it.
That includes file sharing also.
Oh.
Yeah. If you illegally download something and you're file sharing, you cannot do that.
Right, just like sharing programs, you can't do that either.
Exactly. I mean, you should respect, look, there's a lot of artists out there. We have a lot of musicians who listen to 98.5 UPS.
Yes, we do.
You should always be tuned into 98.5. I am. There's a great app for it.
Yes, there
Download
is.
Download the app. But look it, that's somebody's work product.
Yes.
That's somebody's, they're trying to earn a living.
That's right.
Remember Metallica came forward when Napster first came out? And this started happening where people were downloading music illegally, and you know, Metallica really stood up for it. He took a lot of heat for that.
Right. Yes, he did.
Did I tell you Sanitarium is one of my favorite Metallica songs? Welcome to Where Time Stands Still. No one leaves and no one will. I'm a horrible singer. That was just a gruffy moon is full.
That's a good song.
Never seems to change. Just labeled mentally deranged. Dream the same thing every night. I see our freedom in my sight. I know the words. I know I could close. I mean, I just know the words. No locked doors, no windows barred, no things to. You like that? Make my brain seem scarred. Metallica Sanatorium. There's another verse in there. I just didn't repeat it. I was not trying to sing, Nikki.
I know you weren't, because you can do better than that.
I can do better than that. All right. I get a lot of calls in regards to Second Amendment cases.
Okay.
Folks, there's a great website out there. If you have any questions in regards to concealed pistol license and the application process, you can go to michigan.gov/firearms. So www. I don't think you need to say that anymore.
No, you don't have
but
to.
I'll just say it, www.michigan.gov. Michigan.gov/firearms. And there will be an entire plethora of information regarding, you know, applying for a CPL, you know, if you have felony convictions on your record. If you're a convicted felon, you're barred from getting, yes. You're barred.
Yeah, you can't.
I think it's horrible.
You can't even own any
You
guns.
Can expunge it, but I think it's horrible.
It is.
I mean, you could commit a felony when you're 19 and now you're 45 and you want to exercise your right under the Second Amendment. I think there's a conflict there.
There is.
But, you know, thank goodness you can open carry.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Because we're an open carry state, and we talked about
Correct.
This. But I just wanted to give out that information. Now, here's how it works. Most of our listeners know that the gun boards are no longer.
Right.
And I'm glad because, you know, in a lot of these communities, you might have a family name. And I've heard this for years because I'm a defense attorney where, you know, you're still paying for the crime. You're still paying for the crimes of your relatives 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Because in these small towns, everybody knows your name.
That's right.
Okay. So when you go in, and I'm not saying the gun boards did this, but I'm just going to say it that I've heard many stories. So on a gun board, you had someone representative from the prosecutor's office.
Right.
Big shout out to my buddy Scott Williams, prosecutor up in Ogama County. Love okay. Scotty. Love you, bro. Future Judge Scott Williams. Got to vote for Scott.
Of course.
Also, Dave Barbary, future prosecutor, Isabella County. My buddy Dave. You know Barbary? Great law firm.
No,
David,
don't.
Yeah. I know. He might not. I'm just saying. I think
he might listen to
he's
you.
He's going to be a great prosecutor once Risk becomes a judge.
Good.
He's going to be a judge. Judge Scully.
There you go.
Scully Hunt. I want to get her name right. She'll make a great judge someday, probate judge, once the judge retires. Why am I saying all this? I just completely got off track.
You did.
Completely got off track there.
But that's you.
Back on track with the gun boards. You had a member of... from the prosecutor's office, someone from the sheriff's department, and you had another individual. So you had three individuals that literally would determine whether or not you have a right to possess a CPL.
Correct.
And now it's in the hands of the county clerks.
Right, it is.
Now, the politics can still come into it, but you want to know something for the most part, not like at the gun boards.
No.
So now if you go and apply and you get denied, you now have a right to appeal to the circuit court in the county in which you live in.
Okay.
So you hire an attorney, you can file a motion, and you can go before the judge, and you can appeal the denial.
All right. Okay.
But the question is, if the clerk of the court denied you, was the denial based on something that's in the law?
Oh, all right.
Or it could be any reason.
Yeah, it could be.
But you have a right to appeal. I know all the circuit court judges out there. Maybe a few listen. I don't know. You know, they don't want me. I'm just giving out information.
Right,
now they're going to be inundated
right.
with all these people who got denied. But you have a right to appeal.
You do.
And the question is, what is the judge looking at? Well, the judge is a judge, and the judge has to rule on the law.
Right.
So if you got denied based on something that's written in the law, I'm just going to go out on the record and say the judge isn't. He's not going to overturn
right.
the county clerk.
Correct.
Because the county clerk was just looking up the law. And there's a list, folks, on that michigan.gov/firearms website of all of the different convictions that would prevent you from obtaining a CPL.
Okay. Then, yeah, that's good information there.
And there's a lot of them.
People need, yeah, there's a lot there.
So there's a lot of them. We have a lot of law to get to. We're going to finish strong coming back on our fourth break, Nikki. How'd you like my rendition of Metallica?
It was wonderful.
Do you love Sanitarium?
Yes, actually.
Sleep,
I
my
do.
Friends, and you will see that dreams in my reality. They keep me locked up in this cage. Can't they see? It's why my brain says rage. Then it goes on to say, Sanitarium. Man, I need some thrashing right now. I need some. Did you ever see Mad Max Fury Road?
Yes, I have.
I need to drive from court to court with a bunch of drums beating,
and that guy
with the electric guitar just with flames coming out playing Sanitarium. Let's go to break.
Hallelujah.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, segment four, Nikki. We're on segment four. We're going to finish strong.
Of course.
I sang word for word the entire song during break.
I know.
Did I not?
Yes, you did.
And you had visions of Mad Max Fury Road. Folks, listen, here's a plug for you. Siskel and Ebert here, more like Levitt and Morissette, giving you a great movie recommendation. If you have not seen Mad Max Fury Road,
Something's wrong there.
It is
haven't.
Just visually ridiculous. And
go out and get that movie.
But am I right? In the movie, you got this vehicle that's chasing Max.
Yes.
And Charlene Theron, is that her name?
I think so.
Yeah, and all these beautiful blonde Victoria's Secret models. I'm not giving away the movie here. And as they're chasing him, you got this boom, 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 these drums beating.
I know.
And this electric guitar.
Yeah, so they all got to go get the movie now.
Mad Max Fury. I've seen it like 10 times.
It's
because
a good
if
movie.
You watch movies over and over, you'll catch dialogue you didn't hear the first time.
Oh, of course you always do.
And why?
Always.
And why in all the movies does everyone have an English accent?
That's a good question.
I mean, because I think the way we speak, this country's only been around hundreds and hundreds of years. If you have a medieval movie and we're talking like we're from the Midwest, you know, Northern Michigan, I don't think that goes over well with the viewers.
Probably not.
Can you imagine Lord of the Rings with a UP accent?
No, thank you.
I mean, if you talk like
that
you're
would be
a,
funny.
I mean, I love the UP. I'm not knocking the UP.
I know that, but that would be funny.
But I mean, I can't see Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones with somebody from like Indiana.
No,
because people
I
from
can't
Indiana,
either.
They talk. They're a little bit.
They have a little bit of a
something's
an
going on
in there.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends from Indiana.
Yeah, just
but
like
Game of Thrones.
With
not
Kentucky
happening.
And all that?
No.
Not happening.
But they're always from England.
Yeah, they are.
But here's my problem being Italian. Whenever I see movies that depict Roman, the Romans,
mm-hmm.
way back in the day,
okay,
their accents are English. They're not Italian accents. And that bothers me.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. We should, what's up with that?
Yeah.
I like how you said that. All right. Should we give some more law?
We should give some
more
law.
All right. There's something called the Used Motor Vehicle Parts Act. Because there's a lot of used car dealers out there. There's a lot of men and women who work and buy parts and sell parts.
Yes.
So there was a recent amendment to the Used Motor Vehicle Parts Act.
Okay.
And the amendment requires buying and receiving used motor vehicle parts, which includes, by the way, used motor vehicle tires, tire wheels, or rims, or a continuous tire tread. So, and there were changes were made. I'm going to give out the code. So if you are someone who is actively involved in buying and receiving used motor vehicle parts, you will want to write this down. MCL, Michigan Connotated Laws, MCL. Mommy Charlie Lori, MCL.
Oh, okay.
257. The 257 is what the motor vehicle code is under.
Oh, all right.
So if it was a drug case, it would be under the 300s, like 333 something.
Okay.
But everything under the motor vehicle code starts off with 257. So if you are somebody and receive some type of ticket or infraction or charge from the court and it involves a motor vehicle and it's a misdemeanor, it's going to say 257.
Okay.
There you go. It could be, yeah, most of the misdemeanors, 257. This one in particular is 257.1351. You can look that up. All right. So I'll say it again. So it's not only is it 1351, but it's 1351 to about 1355. So 257.1355. I know I'm boring people. They don't want to hear about this law, but there's a lot of men and women out there who buy used parts. So what does it talk about? So Nikki, what the amendment to this law provides is two things, forms and manner of payment allowed for the purchase of these parts. So direct deposit or electronic transfer to the customer's account at a financial institution were added to the allowed forms of payment available to customers for purchase of used motor vehicle parts.
Okay.
But they're still subject, so I'll say it again. Direct deposit or electronic transfer to the customer's account at a financial institution were added to the allowed forms of payment available to customers for the purchase of used motor vehicle parts. But they're always subject to the restrictions, obviously, regarding payment for these motor vehicle tires, tire wheels, rims, et cetera, et cetera. The dealer or agent shall indicate the transaction number. The dealer or agent shall indicate the transaction number of any direct deposit or electronic transfer to the customer's account at a financial institution on the dealer's record of transaction form.
Okay.
Look, do I know what the heck I just said? Not really. But there's a lot of men and women out there who do.
Right.
Now, here's the other thing. Get this. This is kind of interesting. So if you're a dealer and the dealer, as a condition of doing business, a dealer is considered to have given consent if there's an inspection is requested by an officer. Is that unbelievable?
Wow.
Yeah. So the dealer's record of transaction, the forms, and each used motor vehicle part received by a dealer as a result of a transaction are open to inspection by the local police agency and the Michigan State Police at all times during the dealer's ordinary business hours. And as a condition of doing business, a dealer is considered to have given consent to the inspection described, because there's a lot of stolen parts out there. Vehicles are being stolen. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes.
Right. I didn't think about that.
They're trying to do in Lansing is just more regulations, I suppose.
Well, they need it.
Well, they do need it, and then they don't need it.
Right.
I'm not a
dealer.
I
disagree with
that.
But
my friends own Oil City Sales, Paul Dintiman, you know, Dan O'Meara. Those are my friends. We should have them on the show talking about that.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Nikki, what a great show.
It was
Someone
a great
just
show.
Sent me a text because they're listening to the show. They want me to give out that website in regards to firearms again. We're big Second Amendment people, you and I.
Yes, we are.
I mean, we support the Second Amendment, period.
Oh, yes, I do.
No, period.
Yep.
Period. Michigan.gov/firearms. So that has all the information regarding concealed pistol licenses, application process, the laws that will prevent you from obtaining a CPL, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. There's a lot of information there to check out.
There is a lot of information to check out. The laws are always changing.
Yeah, they are.
As men and women, as times change, society changes, people change, generations come along, we feel differently about things. I mean, that's why you now see all these states legalizing marijuana. We're waiting for the state of Michigan to do so. Dr. Bob's coming on.
Next week.
He'll be on the show next week. Aaron's coming on. My buddy Aaron is an attorney.
Okay.
From Roscommon. Yes. We announced Aaron's coming on the show. Oh, by the way, huge announcement.
What's that?
Massive announcement.
Okay.
In October, I'm not sure which Saturday in October, in Houghton Lake at a hotel, Cannabis Legal Group, together with Levitt Law Firm, myself, we're putting on a huge seminar.
Oh, wow.
In relation to the legal business of cannabis.
Well, that is great news.
Barton Morris Jr., who's been on the show, is coming up from Metro Detroit with a group of attorneys who have worked in both Washington and Colorado and specialize in the business of cannabis and everything to make sure you're following all the rules, regulations, and local ordinances, and to put yourself in a position to do so once everything's legalized.
There, that's great.
We'll be announcing it on the show and running commercials for the huge cannabis seminar taking place Houghton Lake, Michigan, with Cannabis Legal Group and Levitt Law Firm.
Oh, great. All right.
And everything's legal.
Yes.
I mean, you're not going to learn anything other than what's legal.
That's going to be a great seminar.
Huge announcement, Nikki.
Yes, it
is.
Okay,
we agreed after the show that you and I are going to do a 40-yard dash. We're not going to
limbo. I thought we were doing the limbo.
No, we decided not to do the limbo. We're not going to play with Play-Doh or Red Rover or dodgeball. We're not going to play Marco Polo where you're going to get out of the pool and cheat.
All right.
Okay, we're gonna do the 40-yard dash.
You win.
No, because I'm going to give you a head start. I'm going to give you a 20-yard. I was a sprinter.
Okay.
I was like the third fastest in my high school. There's always someone faster.
Of course
I'm going to let you start at the 20-yard line.
All right.
And I'll go 40 yards.
Okay.
With my eyes closed. We have to end the show.
Yes, we do.
Hope everyone out there has a happy, safe Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
Go out and live.
Yes. Enjoy the day.
And if you miss any part of the show,
SoundCloud, Podbean, or iTunes.
It's free. Just
yes,
type
it
in
is.
The name of the show.
And there you go. There
Nikki,
we are.
It's time to go.
Yes.
I would like to sing Sanitarium on the way out. I almost said Sanatorium.
Sanitarium.
We're about to leave and end the show right now with Nikki saying, I'm not just a litigator.
You're an advocator.
We'll see you next week, folks.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, the Sour Apple Smoke Shop in Mount Pleasant, the best damn smoke shop around, Dr. Robert Townsend for 97th District. Send a doctor to the house. Safe Ride Associates. Check with Neil for all your communication needs, from intercom to CB to Bluetooth. And by Innovative Insulation Systems. For those cold and hot days, make sure your insulation pays.